السلام عليكم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي شرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدني علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. سورة البقرة آية 6-13 word to word translation. إن indeed الذين those who كفروا they denied disbelieved hid the truth سواء it is equal same عليهم upon them a whether أنذر warned the you whom them أم or لم did not تنذر you warn whom them لا not يؤمنون they will believe ختم he sealed الله الله على upon قلوبهم their hearts قلوب hearts him there wa and على upon سمعهم hearing their hearing wa and على is upon أبصارهم their sights غشاوة a thick covering veil و and لهم لا is for هم them عذاب a torment punishment عظيم a great و and من are from are among الناس the people mankind من who يقول he says آمنا we believed بالله in بال in with الله و and بال in with اليوم the day الآخر the last و and ما not هم they be مؤمنين are in the least believers يخادعون they deceive الله الله و and الذين those who آمنوا they believed و while ما not يخدعون they deceive while ما not يخدعون they deceive إلا except أنفسهم themselves were and ما not يشعرون they perceive في in is in قلوبهم their hearts مرض a big disease فزادهم so he increased them الله الله مرض in a disease و and لهم is for them عذاب a torment punishment أليم a painful B because of ما what كانوا they were used to يكذبون they lie و and either when قيل it was said لهم لا to for هم them لا do not تفسدوا you all do mischief corrupt disrupt في in الأرض the earth قالوا they said إنما indeed not but نحن we مصلحون are ones who make peace reform alas beware إنهم indeed they هم They only, هم المفسدون. They only are those who do mischief, corruption, disruption. ولكن, but, لا, do not, يشعرون. They perceive. Now we will start the tafsir, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 6 to 13. Inna al-lazina, verily, those people who did kufr, sawa'un alayhim, it is equal, anzartahum, whether you warn them, am lam tunzirhum, or you don't warn them. Verily, those who disbelieved, it is same whether you warn them or not warn them, la yu'minun, they won't believe. In the last lesson, we saw that people who were believers, we saw people who were the believers and their characteristics, or their signs. And we learnt that those people are those who will be successful. They will be the muflihun, successful ones. Now those five ayat have been completed, and two ayat are coming up. Ayah number 6, ayah number 7, and these are about the kuffar. After that, in ayahs 8 to 20, you will find the mention of the munafiqeen. So the next 13 verses that follow after the disbelievers are about the munafiqeen. So in the surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, the first five ayats are about the muttaqeen. The next two are about the non-Muslims, disbelievers. The next 13 are about an additional category. And what is that category? The munafiqeen. So we should know this list. Today we will learn about the disbelievers and the munafiqeen, but we will not complete this discussion today. We will continue next week. So in this world, we will only find three groups of people. Only three. The first are muttaqeen, the second are disbelievers, and the third are munafiqeen. Aside from these, there is no fourth group. So this means that there are three categories that we fall into. Any human, regardless of where they are on the earth, they stand in one of these three groups. So it is important for us to know about these three groups. About the disbelievers, equal to them is whether you warn them or if you do not warn them. Whether you, as in addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether you warn them, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you do not warn them, they will not believe. Why is this being said? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to become very heartbroken. He used to become very upset because he knew that the truth had come before these people. The truth had become evident. The book is in front of them. They have recognized it, yet they don't believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that there are some people who are so stubborn that even though they see the truth, they will not believe in it. They won't leave their stubbornness. They have decided not to believe. How will you convince someone like that? You can't. Look in your life. There are some people who are stuck in their ways. Once they decide something, they won't budge. Once they've said it, that's it. They won't accept anything after this. It's like a cup that has been placed upside down. If you turn on the tap and you try to fill it, will it fill up? No. Why? The cup is wrong. The cup is placed the wrong way. This is how some people turn their hearts upside down. So no message enters it. So in that time, there were people who were like that. There was Abu Jahl, there was Abu Lahab. These people were the ones who had recognized the haqq, but they decided that they will not believe. And you will find many people like this in your life. They will be stuck in their ways and absolutely stubborn. It is important to note here that this verse isn't referring to all non-Muslims. That all Muslims won't believe whether you warn them or warn them not. No. It doesn't apply to all of them. This is referring to those people who are stubborn. So why is this ayah placed here? So that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't become hurt and upset and grieve. O Prophet, you shouldn't feel sad. It's not your fault. Don't think that it is your efforts that are not effective. You are doing well. Why are you losing yourself in this? These are the people who have decided not to believe. What can you do about it? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khatam Allah. Allah has put a seal upon their hearts, and upon their eyes is a curtain. Allah has set a curtain upon their eyes, there isn't a seal. So there is a curtain upon the eyes. This is something we say in our everyday language too. Their eyes have become veiled. So we can say, why is it their fault? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a seal upon their heart, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done it, and they don't believe, then what is their fault in all of this? The thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just put a seal on anyone. There is a reason for setting a seal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us faculties. He has given us eyesight, hearing, intelligence, understanding. He has given us all this so that we can use these things, and in the world we can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His signs, so that we can see, we can hear, and we can understand, and then recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we see the clouds, we see the trees, we see the birds, we see all of these. What should we gain from all of these? Humans need to use their intelligence and understand and come to the conclusion that there is a creator and He is one. And when humans don't do this, those who don't use these facilities in order to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they've seen the whole world and simply just said, oh, what a beautiful cloud, such beautiful rain, such beautiful trees, even people, they just keep going on about how beautiful and good things are, but they don't think after that about the creator, the owner, the sustainer, the establisher, the beautifier of these things. They never recognized Allah. Even after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these facilities and we don't take advantage of these blessings for the purpose for which they were created, then one day will come when these facilities will be taken away. For example, if we see someone sick and their arm is bandaged into place, if this body part is locked away for several months or a year, it loses its capacity to work. This is why people have physiotherapy, to enable movement so that these body parts can work. In this way, if people don't use their aql, nor their heart, nor do they contemplate nor ponder, nor do they use their eyes and ears for spiritual reasons. They use their faculties for everything in this dunya. They study, they work, they go out, they are traveling, going on vacations. They can appreciate the beauty of the world around us. They are doing everything. But if they don't see the one behind all of this, the creator behind all of these, the maker of all of these, they slowly but surely lose their abilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes these facilities back. They saw the truth. They heard the truth. Someone explained it to them. They understood too. But they still don't accept it. Even though the universe is showing them every proof about the existence of God, the universe is giving witness about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the stubbornness doesn't go away. The insistence to rebel burns on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets a seal. Now the word khatama is a seal. Now nothing will enter this heart. This doesn't mean that the person becomes deaf. Terrible oppressors have come and gone. Abu Jahl, Fir'aun, they didn't go literally deaf. But they heard, but they didn't hear. They saw, but they didn't see. They didn't internalize. They have hearts, but they don't think. They don't understand. If we don't recognize our Malik, our owner, then what did we achieve? Even animals recognize their creator. Even an animal recognizes the owner when the owner arrives. Even something like a dog recognizes ownership. When the owner arrives, it wags its tail, runs after the owner, goes after the owner, knows what the owner likes. How much does he recognize his ownership? He doesn't treat anyone else this way, the way he treats his owner. So humans have intellect. They understand, they have all of these facilities. And if the human doesn't recognize Allah, what can we say? An animal has far less intellect, far less intelligence, and yet still recognizes its owner. You ate, you drank, everything that the owner gave you. You understood, you have intelligence, but you use it everywhere except to recognize the Creator. How is this? Now, Rob is Malik. Our Rob is our owner. We are the slaves. If this is the situation that we can see the truth, but we don't want to accept, we don't want to accept, and we just keep saying we don't want to accept, and there is this insistent repetition, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you don't want to accept, alright. And that is when the seal is placed. So this is the attitude of humans that causes the seal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do zulm on anyone. A'udhu billah. The zulm would have been that he gave no intellect, no capability to understand, no capacity to comprehend, and that he didn't send any prophets or books or messages to anyone. That we were not given eyes and ears and no signs to guide us. And if then he resurrected us on the day of judgment and said, why did you do all of this? Now that would have been zulm. We could have said, this is zulm. No one warned us. How would we know? But in order to warn you, to warn all people, and to wake you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent so many signs and guidances. Even if no prophet came to a people, there are so many signs that a person can take to reach their Lord, to recognize their owner, their creator. But look at humans. How ignorant human beings are, and how arrogant they are. They become the malik of themselves and forget their Lord. For these people, وَلَهُمْ أَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. A big adhab, azim. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is a big adhab, then imagine the enormity of that adhab. There are so many tortures in this world. Just hearing the word torture, we start shaking, shivering, thinking that, you know, somewhere there's a torture cell, that people are getting tortured in a certain place. Just that thought makes a person become so scared. Now, these are man-made things. These are human-built things. What about when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says azab? Imagine Allah's torture. How horrible and how severe it must be. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says azabun azim, then imagine the severity and the intensity and the extent of that. Imagine that. Now, kufr is also a form of azab. Kufr is also a form of azab. Why? Because human beings will get the azab of the akhirah, of the afterlife. But even in this world, this form of azab is that humans are far away from Allah. They are far away from their Rabb. That they are distant from their nurturer, their carer, their caretaker. If we cannot recognize Allah, then what can be a bigger azab than that? These are the disbelievers, those who reject the truth, those who recognize the truth and discard it. The truth, they see the truth, they understand it. There is no deficiency in this understanding. And they don't just see this one or two times, but for a long time. And this is the result for people like this. Now there is a third category. These are the munafiqeen. Even though it hasn't been mentioned by name that they are munafiqeen, but these are the characteristics of the munafiqeen. This is why when we read these verses, we will learn that there is a significant discussion on these types of people. 13 verses have been revealed about them here. About the muttaqeen, there were 5. About the kafir, there were 2. If we want to check in our society and identify the muttaqeen, then we have to look at these things that were mentioned previously. And if you want to identify the disbelievers, then we have a checklist of these things and we check them. But remember that this doesn't include all the disbelievers. So it doesn't mean that we don't need to warn anyone, that we don't need to do dawah. Quran says they won't accept. Okay? That's not true. Alright? That is not true. It is only referring to those who are obstinate and those who are insistent and those people who are transgressors. These is the ones who we are discussing. Okay, the problem with the munafiqeen is that they are not as easily identifiable as the muttaqeen and the kafirin. They don't come out properly as who they truly are. They don't come out and declare who they really are. There is something inside and something outside. They are something inside and they are something else outside. They are not here nor there. When something changes color, it is so confusing. If it is one color, we know what that one color is. But the munafiqeen are double-faced. They are something now and they are something else later, and something else another day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala severely dislikes this. This is something we need to understand, that this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about them in depth, so that we can understand them, identify them. And it is not for us to identify these characteristics in other people. Okay, when I say understand them, I mean understand the characteristics. But it is not for us to identify these characteristics in other people, to find these descriptions in other people. Rather, it is so that I can identify it and use these as an exercise to identify the characteristics in my own self, to account our own self and assess our own self to see where we stand in relation to these ayat. Do I have characteristics of the munafiq? Have I developed any of these traits? Because these are very dangerous. And the result for this is also azabun azim. And we don't want this for ourselves. The Sahaba was so afraid of developing nifaq, hypocrisy. Umar radiallahu anhu, such a great Sahabi, he used to be so afraid of becoming a munafiq. In the last lesson, we went over this story where he went to Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu to ask if he was one, because only Hudhayfa had the list of the names of the munafiqeen. Not all of them, but only those munafiqeen who had plotted to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the time of Tabuk. So he, Umar radiallahu anhu, such a great person, he was so worried. And we learn about the fear of the Sahaba, the other Sahaba, becoming a munafiq. Another story is the story of Hanzalah radiallahu anhu. And I'll quote from Sunan Ibn Majah. We were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we spoke of paradise and hell until it was as if we could see them. Then I got up and went to my family and children, and I laughed and played with them. Then I remembered how we had been, and I went out and I met Abu Bakr and said, I have become a hypocrite. Abu Bakr said, we all do that. So Hanzalah went and mentioned that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, O Hanzalah, if you were always as you are with me, the angels would shake hands with you in your beds and in your streets. O Hanzalah, there is a time for this and a time for that. So if the Sahaba was scared, then we should be too. Only the munafiq thinks that they are free from nifaq. The mu'min is the one that is always afraid to fall into nifaq. Always checking if they have nifaq or not. So we need to study these verses carefully and check ourselves carefully. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove any nifaq that we may have within ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts clear from even a tiny trace of nifaq. So now we are going to study about the munafiqeen. These are people with a weak character. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And amongst those people, amongst the people are those who say that they believe in Allah and in the last day, but they are not believers. It is important to note that in the previous verse, the words were إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, verily those who disbelieved. It didn't say إِنَّ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't single them out and point at them. It's just وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and amongst the nas people. Why? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala single out and point them out? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give them a chance so that they turn back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of tawbah for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply says, amongst the people, there are some people. Okay? The munafiqeen were never exposed except for Tabuk. That the thing wasn't to expose them and point fingers at them, because this is what makes people insistent. They become stubborn and insist on not turning back. The purpose is to bring them back. This wasn't the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam either, to point at out and pinpoint people and say, you are like this and you are like that. But rather, if he saw someone doing something, he would say, what is wrong with the people? What is wrong with people that they do this and they do that? And he wouldn't do this all the time. Unlike today, where on the khutbah people deliver sermons and they are often found pointing out mistakes of others, pointing out that these people are doing this wrong and those people are doing that wrong, and this is happening and that is happening wrong, this is all wrong. If we continue like this, then won't people become insistent on sinning? Sometimes it is effective, but to have this as the consistent, constant theme and topic over and over again, this isn't a good thing. We should speak positively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a group who says, Amanna. So the na here indicates that we believe. Okay, plurality. Right? They're not saying I believe, they're saying we believe. Why? Because they want to blend in. They want to show they believe with the rest of the group. I believe like the others, so don't think I'm not with the group. They say that they believe in the Akhirah too. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judge about them? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that they believe? When they need to fill out a form, what do they write in the box? When it requires them to write down their religion, they will say Islam. They will write down Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are not believers. They are not people of belief. So what does it take to become a mu'min, a person of belief? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that they are not Muslim. The words here are not وَمَا هُمْ بِمُسْلِمِينَ. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are not mu'min. So they are not people who have iman. So how does the person become Muslim? They take the shahada, right? But what is iman? Iman is in the heart. Iman is the situation of the heart. A person can become Muslim, but whether or not their heart has iman, no one can guarantee that we will become mu'min. Islam is different. Okay, iman is different. The declaration of faith is different to the actual faith inside. The declaration of Islam is outer. The actual faith, iman, is inner, internal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say وَمَا هُمْ بِمُسْلِمِينَ. They made shahada. They pray. They fast. They give charity. They give zakat. We can't say that they are not Muslim. But on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't be judging according to these things. Who made shahada and who didn't? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the decision based on the faith inside. Who had iman inside, internal faith? We hear these words, right? Do we have internal iman? We never hear, you know, do we have iman inside? We never hear the words, do you have external faith? Do you have external iman? We don't hear a statement like that. We say, I have faith inside my heart. That's how the words are structured, right? Now, the effect of internal faith shows up as amal, as actions. The internal impacts the external, and the good deeds and the good works start coming out. It's obvious, right? If something's cooking inside a home or inside a place, the fragrance will come outside. Actions tell, actions show iman. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Maybe you are Muslim, and off you go being Muslim. Go about being Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants your iman, not just Islam, and definitely not claims of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want any lip service. In front of us, we have our Muslim names, our words, our claims that we believe in the Akhirah, and we deceive ourselves by saying these things. And we say things like, yeah, I'm a Muslim, and Muslims are going straight to Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. The article be here is very significant. Be here, بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, means completely not. Be mu'minin, be here, changes the meaning to the fact that this person is absolutely not a mu'min. Not even a little bit of iman inside them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects their claims because they are words and not in the heart. Saying anything doesn't make a difference. We can say that we are doing something for the sake of Allah. Saying something doesn't mean anything. We can please people by saying these things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the things inside the heart. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ. They deceive Allah and the people of Iman. And what is here in يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ? Can anyone deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, no one can, right? The mu'min, the human, can easily see what the munafiq is up to. The mu'min has a vision given to them by Allah, basira. They can identify the inappropriate behaviors that the munafiqin are doing. So, what is in this word, yuhadi'un? We have written down in our translation that they deceive. But in yuhadi'un, the little alif at the top of the letter Kha indicates that they try. They try to deceive Allah, but they fail. And they try their utmost best to deceive, but they fail. How? How they think that by saying that they believe, they think that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will believe them too. This is why they are going on about, this is why these are those people who are on their own. They are trying, they are telling people, they have iman, going around telling people about the iman. Right, in the same way they think that they've told people they're going to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ. So they don't have any understanding. They don't have any understanding, rather, they are deceiving themselves. They think they are so smart. They think that they have deceived people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't become deceived by anything. Rather, what they are doing is to their own detriment. They are only deceiving themselves. They don't understand. وَلَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They don't understand, and there is insanity in this behavior. This thing itself, thinking that they are going to win from all sides, to take all the benefits from their nifaq, that this was the thing that was bringing them the most loss. So now we need to look at their history a little bit. How did the munafiqeen come into existence? Let's take a look at how it all began. In Mecca, there was no nifaq. People used to keep their iman hidden and protected in their hearts. They couldn't even bring the declaration, most of them, to their lips because of the intensity of the fear of the disbelievers. To declare Islam in that environment was to expose yourself to torture and a burden that was so extremely severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, has accepted these people as the ones of iman, even though many of them hadn't declared their faith. Many of them. But these were the people that Allah accepted as the ones of Iman. When the Muslims came to Medina after Hijrah, they started to settle there. When the Prophet ﷺ arrived, they became established there. Especially after the tribes of Aus and Al-Khazraj accepted them as their leader. And the Jews also accepted him as their decision maker. A leadership, a government was formed with the Prophet ﷺ. So the ones who were Muslim, they were Muslim joyfully. Happily, this was a happy occasion for them. But amongst them were people who said that, okay, now these are the people in power now. And then when 2 years later the Muslims won the war at Badr, they became even more powerful and they started rising in power. The people who were the opportunists, they said, you know, we should stick. They say we should stick with the government. We should stick with those in power. So for benefit now and for the benefit for the benefit now and for the benefit of the future, of their own futures. But on the other side was a problem. If you make an allegiance with the Muslims, then you've taken on enmity to who? To Quraysh. Quraysh at the time was the superpower of that region. They were the most respectable. They were the caretakers of the Kaaba. And so to take on a challenge like that was a big risk. None of the other tribes in surrounding areas were Muslim either. They felt like they will be isolated. There was no need to take on enemies. That's what they were thinking. The conversations taking place weren't sitting well with these people. They were thinking, you know, what is this? And that they're saying to be loyal with Allah and His Messenger and no one else. They were like, you know, what is this? Well, they couldn't accept it. So some people came into Islam saying, you know, we will read the kalima, but internally, we are going to be who we are. Whilst others who became munafiqeen later, but they initially had entered Islam with a good heart. So the first group were the ones who read the kalima, but they had decided that they're not going to change internally. There were others who came in with a good heart, with sincerity. They liked Islam. They thought it was alright. It was a good way. Things about Islam convinced them. The good things about it, they liked it. And they liked the Muslims too. But once they came into Islam, they found that Islam requires you to do things. Islam requires you to act. Everything was fine until to the point of this Shahada, but after that, we have to do all of these things too, just like in our time. You know, just saying the Shahada and everything is, you know, the same. Nothing changes. The Shahada, that's it. Then we continue to live the way we were before the Shahada. We eat, we drink, we sit, we stand, we do whatever we like, just like before. People read the kalima. So what? What do they do after that? Now here in Medina, they're finding that action is needed. Sometimes it is asked that you need to come out and go to war. Sometimes they're asking for your wealth and to go out in the cause of Islam. They were fine to go to the masjid. They were fine to do the basic things. But giving our lives and our wealth, what kind of demands are these? This was the weak iman. When these weak Muslims met with those people who were open munafiqeen, the ones in the first category we mentioned, those munafiqeen were the ones who only accepted Islam outwardly and decided they would remain disbelievers. The ones with the faulty aqidah, when these two groups sat together, what happened? They instigated them and basically fanned the flames. They would look at the Muslims and say, look at these people. Look at what they're doing. And slowly, those people with weak iman became affected. The first disease in these people was weak iman. If they had only fixed their iman, it would have been beneficial. But this weak iman became weaker and weaker until they became munafiqeen. Diseases have stages, and the disease of nifaq is the same. There is a first stage, a second stage, a third stage, a fourth stage. Just like in normal, in other diseases, there's stages. At the first stage, you would find some remedy, some treatment. Maybe also at the second and third. But when it comes to the fourth stage of diseases, even the doctors give up and say, you know, we can't help this person. It is important to tackle these issues when they arise. When the questions against Islam arise, when the fingers begin to point, when the misconceptions and the irritations about certain aspects of Islam develop, you know, why is Islam saying this? What is the logic behind this? This is when the remedy needs to be sought. And this is a reminder and a lesson for all of us today. All of these issues need to be start being dealt with immediately as they arise. And if they are not dealt with, answered, sorted, and removed, then these issues magnify, they grow, and they become greater and more vicious until Islam as a religion stops making sense. Islam itself looks illogical. These people can't understand anything at this point, and people start transgressing, not accepting this, not accepting that, until they deny Quran, deny Hadith, and ultimately reach a level of kufur, denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denying Islam. The main issue with the munafiqeen is the dunya. This temporary life on earth, the dunya, takes the highest priority for them. They don't want to lose anything in the dunya. They want to keep everything secure. Their lives, their money, their materialistic possessions, everything. They'll add a little bit of contribution, sure. But they keep all their avenues towards others as well. The idea of not putting all our eggs in one basket, this is how they operate. They keep their ties and options outside Islam. They don't want to take a risk. Their hearts have a defect. This is the meaning of nifaq. We don't prefer something with a defect, do we? We like whatever we purchase or whatever we get, we like it to be complete and working. But when people present their iman to Allah, they present a type of iman with defects in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has demanded true iman. This is what He wants from us. This is the base upon which Jannah will be granted. The defective iman that we have, we plan to present it before Allah. Do we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it? We are such lowly creatures. We don't accept faulty and defective things for ourselves. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept defective iman? These people are deceiving themselves. Their hearts are diseased. في قلوبهم مرض. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have a disease in their hearts. In their words, it's all Allah, Allah, Islam, and Islamic words, but their hearts are rotten. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see the hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's vision is upon the hearts. It's like the example of a little child who you find in a room. And as soon as you enter the door, through the door, they're like, I wasn't doing anything. I didn't do anything. And you know, because of their words, I didn't do anything. Surely they were up to something. They've done something. They've become exposed by themselves, by their own words. So similarly, these people are saying the same. I'm a Muslim. I have iman in my heart. Iman is in my heart. It is. I have iman. Okay. Why do you need to say it repeatedly? They're guilty. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the slightest things and thoughts of the heart. The slightest traces of thoughts of the heart. In a hadith, it says that the worst person is the two-faced person. The worst. So what will be the situation of the munafiqeen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much anger towards them. Right? الدرق الأسفل من النار. Right? They will be in the lowest position of Jahannam. The worst and the lowest level of hellfire is for them. Why? This double-faced, two-faced, benefit-seeking people, they want benefits from the Muslims and they want benefits from the other side. They want to keep themselves with ties with everyone. They call it diplomacy, being diplomatic. Sometimes we have relatives and we watch them when they go and sit with one set of people and they agree with everything they have to say, and then they'll go to another place and agree with all of that they have to say. They're like chameleons. They will present the negative aspect of one group after that to the other. And then the negative aspects, they'll go to the other and put the negative aspects of the other so that they can look good, so that they can be with everyone. These are the people who act in a certain way and then they do something else. They are something else inside. When they open their mouth, you can see right through them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept empty words. We talk a lot. We give lectures. We do big talk. We talk so big. But Ustaza asks us, then what? She says she's putting these ayat in front of us, in front of you and in front of me, so that we can all take stock of our own self, so that we can assess our own selves, we can check. We are not studying this course to learn history or to listen to stories, but as we go along, we are going to encounter many stories, Bani Israel stories, so many stories. But what is the point of us going through the Quran and this course? What is the true point? It is so that Quran is a mirror for us. Quran is a mirror so that we can assess our own selves with these verses and remove our faults, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our defects, and rip them out and get rid of them. But why? Who's looking? We look good on the outside. It's like people when they get dressed up at home and we ask, you know, the family asks, is someone coming over? Or are you going somewhere? It's only when someone's coming to look that we make ourselves look better. Otherwise, we look so dreary. But someone is looking at our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at our heart. Quran prepares us for this meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these defects that no one else can see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see them, and we are prepared to remove them. We need to clean ourselves so that our inner selves are so prepared, so clean, so well dressed for our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like in this world, we don't wash ourselves just once, we clean ourselves every day, several times a day. We need to also constantly work on our hearts and our internal aspects and keep cleaning our faults. We need to check. Do we constantly go around showing others our good deeds? So that people are saying, wow, mashallah, look at this person, they've got such good deeds, so pious, mashallah, so religious, so much taqwa, so active in the deen. Is it these words that other people are saying about us that are going to be recorded and shown to Allah, and Allah will accept these registers? No, people's praises are not going to count. Nothing is going in our record of good deeds, and they don't even have consciousness of what they are doing. They are not aware of they are not conscious of what they are doing. They are ruining themselves, going about losing good deeds or not making any good deeds at all. And they don't even know. They're too busy convincing other people that they are so good, that they are so busy chasing praises, they don't know. Now, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. So, in their hearts is a disease. Let's explore what the scholars say about what this disease, this marad, what does this disease mean? The first thing that the scholars teach is that this disease is doubt. Okay? Doubt. Doubting. Shak. They doubt Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Akhirah, whether all of these things are true or not, whether they actually lead to our salvation or not. This disease needs to be resolved, remedied. Okay, some people say, I have these doubts, you know, well, why don't we fix them? And what is the fixing? What will heal us? What is the solution? What is the remedy? The first is Quran. The second is the company of the Salihin, the company of the good doers, good people, Salihin, staying in the company of good words, good actions, staying away from evil deeds. And if we don't take care, then this disease will get out of control. What is the second thing that is this disease? Cowardice. So, being a coward. This is why they can't stand up for anything and defend. They already have the doubt, and now there is this cowardice. So, if someone has a doubt, then they can't do anything, right? If you start doubting if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will really give you ajr or not, then what can you do? What will you be able to do? You won't be able to give any wealth away. You won't be able to give anything away. Whether akhirah exists or not, and whether this exists or not, if you have doubt, then how will you do any preparation for it? For anything? Doubt eats away iman, and cowardice eats away iman. We need yaqeen. We need to stand up strong. We need to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to believe in the akhirah. This is why we act and do things. Even today, you will meet some Muslims that are standing up. They are proud to be Muslim. They stand strong. They say, I am a Muslim. Do what you want. I look Muslim. I speak Muslim. I walk Muslim. I do what Islam requires of me. And I am Muslim inside and out. And on the other side, we find in our societies people for whom Islam, to do anything related to Islam, they will feel like they will lose. They have statements like, oh, you know, iman is in the heart. Why do we have to do all of that for iman? We don't need to show that we are Muslim. We don't need to show it all over the place. You know, keep it hidden inside. You don't need to be extreme. You don't need to show the whole world. You know, it's the 21st century. This is nothing. All of this, and you've heard all of those words before along the same lines, all of this is cowardice. All of this is weak iman. Weakness in iman. Don't follow the deen too much. You need to be balanced. You need to, you know, deen and dunya. What is the definition of balanced? The deen of Islam is already balanced. Islam is balanced. So what is their idea of what is balanced? Follow the deen a tiny little bit, a smidgen, a scrap of the deen, and then everything else goes. Everything else, anything goes. Okay? Okay, you know, if you want to pray, then you can pray. And if you want to, you know, you can give a little bit of zakat. But you can't follow everything. You can't show that you're a Muslim at work. You'd get in trouble for it. What if you get discriminated? What if people think you're outdated? What if people think you're backward? You don't want to say Bismillah or Alhamdulillah or something like that. All of this is weakness. It's all cowardice. Okay, what if someone calls me religious? What if someone calls me Mullani? All of this is weakness. They put the same fear in their kid's heart. You know, they worry if the child would go out and say something Islamic, that they might say something like the Kaaba or Salah or something. You know, and they worry, what if they don't get a promotion? What if they get called an extremist? What about their PR? If all the emphasis is on this, then this is weakness for sure. And it leads to? It leads straight to nifaq, straight to becoming a munafiq. If it is not fixed, it just keeps going and it leads to nifaq. So there are unnecessary fears that we have inside us. Right? What if someone calls me this, or what if someone calls me that, or what if someone thinks this of me, what if someone... These are all our own fears. Okay, and these are all diseases. And what do diseases do? They destroy the body. So what do we need to do? We need to fix this. Okay, because otherwise, diseases, right, they destroy iman. And they carry themselves along with the person. The disease gets carried around and spread. So in every gathering this person attends, they start spreading their issues, their negativity about Islam. Oh, Islam has this in it. What about this issue in Islam? And they start thinking that they are so intellectual. They are people who are working on religious things. They are doing religious deeds. They start off really good. They think that they are raising awareness, or they are asking really highly advanced intellectual questions about Islam with their superior intellectual capabilities. And they think that they are something. But when they start questioning all sorts of things on the deen, they start empowering themselves to say whatever they want about whatever they think. Whatever they think that is confusing or that defies logic or whatever it is. They just spread that. And in reality, it's all marad. It's all disease. And it's all being spread. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases their disease. And they increase and increase. And they keep going and going and going. If they had sought the remedy, that would have been something. Humans know what's going on inside themselves. But some people just don't want to fix themselves. They say, why? There's nothing wrong with me. I'm completely fine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them. Have you seen that when someone wants to increase in good deeds, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the paths for good deeds for them. The doors and the opportunities of doing good spread wide open, and that person keeps going on and increases and increases and keeps going in the path of goodness. But for someone who insists on kufr, the insistence to do wrong, they want to rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them in that, and their heart becomes sealed, khatam Allah, and they will continue along that path. And whoever has a disease and wants to stay in that disease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let him increase in it. So whatever you desire, whatever your desire is, whatever you're desperate for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in that. If that is good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you so much and so far. But if someone is allergic to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and his message, and for them the attitude is just, oh, look at this, they've started this Islamic talk all over again. Oh, they're talking about Islamic things. Oh my goodness. If someone acts like this, then what will happen to them? Will their disease increase or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do injustice to anyone. Human actions cause the seal to be placed. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So if you want to excel and you are desperate to excel in good, Allah will make you excel in good. But for these other people, there is عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So for these people, there is a painful punishment. Now what is pain? Does pain itself makes us suffer so much? Simple pain, a simple ache, a headache, a stomach ache, a toothache, earache. These things make us suffer so much. So then imagine the azabun alim, bima kanu yaksibun. So they have an azabun alim. But why be? Right? Why be ma kanu? They were yaksibun. Okay? They were the ones who were lying. Subhanallah. Is lying such a tremendous thing? Is it such a big thing? And what was their lie? Ordinary lies are bad. They are bad enough. But what is these people's specific lie? That they have iman, that they claim that they have iman. They lie that they have iman, yet there is nothing in their heart. They want to deceive Allah, His Messenger, and the Muslims. Now, yakhda'una here means that they deceived and they were successful. Earlier we said, yukhadi'una, those were the people, the meaning of yukhadi'una was they are the people who are trying to deceive, and they keep trying but they are not being successful. Here, yakhda'una is they were successful in deceiving, but who do they successfully deceive? Themselves. This is their lie. آمنا بالله واليوم الآخر, that they believe in Allah and the last day of judgment. This was their lie. Now lying is bad, but to lie in front of Allah and to think that Allah will be deceived by our words, now that's mental. That's something that is really messed up. So what are the characteristics of the munafiqeen? These are characteristics and actions that they do. Firstly, they, when they speak, they lie. So in their day-to-day lives, this is something that they are like, so they are liars. But also, the parable here is of their hypocrisy is that what they are inside, they don't show on the outside. Their life is like this. They live life like this. Right? Their nifaq is not the same. So their actions are not the same as what they say. They don't like Islam. They don't want to be with the Muslims. They have issues with the deen. And they only hang around for benefit. They don't want... It's all a lie. They don't want to be there. And they don't want to bring out the lies inside them either. Secondly, when they make a promise, they break the promise. So in reality, this is their life of nifaq too. Isn't it a promise when you say La ilaha illallah? When you say the kalima, you promise, right? When we are when they are entrusted with something, they break their trust. So their life was entrusted to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? And in another riwayah, there's a fourth one, fourth characteristic, and that is that when they fall into an argument, they become extremely argumentative. Like, they just lose it. They just go out of it, basically, transgressing normal limits. So when you meet them in a normal situation, they're nice, they're normal. But during an argument, you can't even recognize them anymore. They start saying all sorts of things, swearing, carrying on, just completely losing it. So a person, if they have one characteristic out of the four, then that is one level of nifaq. If they have two, then that is their level of nifaq. And if they have all four, then that's their level also. So we need to check. Do I have these in my life? Do I have lies in my life? Right, this is a lie. I need these clothes tailored quickly. I have a wedding to go to and I really need these clothes tailored really quick. But in reality, there are several months to go. This is a lie. Okay, another example of a lie. I bought this at another shop for so much less, but there was no such thing. No such event took place. I got stuck in traffic, but really, you actually just left the house late. Oh, I can't come to your house because I have an appointment, whereas in reality, you have nothing planned. So these are lies, right? But there are also other lies that often we don't consider. Oh, you look so pretty, when you think that person doesn't look nice at all. Oh, your cooking is so great, when you didn't like it at all. Oh, your house is so nice. You know, these little formalities that you don't, that they are lies. Okay, to show something in front of someone and then be something else behind their back, that is a lie. All of these are lies. So we need to come out of lies in our lives. We need to give up the lying life. And when we fight with our family members, maybe a husband or some other member at home, when no one is watching, how are we? When no one is recording and how our language is being used and how our behavior explodes and how we storm around and turn into something else with no care, no worry about what we learnt in class and what we heard about Islam, all of that goes out the window. Is that the case? Okay, now because this munafiq that is being described is a hideous thing. It is such an ugly thing, an ugly character. None of us wants these traits within us. And if there is any sign of these in us, then we will be so ugly in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. And amongst the people, they don't have any value either. And we end with this by saying that these people are doing their utmost best to instill their value in people. They are doing their best to look good. And what will the people say? They're trying to so hard to keep their honor and status in society. But amongst the people, these people in reality have no honor. And even in Medinan society, everyone could see what was happening. Everyone can tell by their actions and behavior who they really were. Now, no one used to say anything to them. No one called them a munafiq. But they didn't have the same value in that community like the mu'min. So when someone is honest with Allah and honest with the people, automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the honor of that person. And we have to remember that one lie comes with so many lies. So we need to really change and clean ourselves. We need to clear ourselves from lies, from breaking promises, breaking trust, and from exploding when we fall into arguments. And this is how we end today's lesson. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.